The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parshas Bamidbar, this is the first parsha of the fourth Sefer, of the Sefer Torah, Sefer Bamidbar. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai ve'ayel ma'ed be'echad l'chedesh ha'sheni b'shon ha'sheni s'letzeis ha'meres Mitzrayim l'mor. And Hashem spoke to Moshe at the desert of Sinai in the Ohel Moed by the Mishkan. This was the first of the second month, b'shon ha'sheni, in the second year of the going out of Mitzrayim. This means this took place in Iyar. Klal Yisrael went out on the 15th day of Nisan, and the second year, the second month, which was Rosh Chedesh Iyar, is when this took place. And Hashem told Moshe that you should count the numbers of all of the people in accordance to their families in the houses of their fathers, according to their numbers, every male, everyone who is 20 years old, who is of age to go into the army, you and Aaron should count them all. And with you shall be one representative of each of the tribes. And these are the names of the people that should be with you. The Reuven, from the tribe of Reuven, Elitzur ben Shedeur. The Shimon, from the tribe of Shimon, Shlumiel ben Shurishadai, and so forth. Then, a little further, states Vayikach Meshe Va'aren Es Anoshim Eila Asher Nikvu B'Shemes. Meshe and Aaron took all of these people that the Torah explicitly mentioned, Ve'es Kol Ha'Edo Hikilu, and all of the congregation, all of the people he gathered together, Be'echad L'Chedish Hasheni, and Ve'esh Chedish of the second month, Ve'es Aldu Al Mishpecheisem L'Ve'es Avosam. Each one was affirmed, each one was categorized and affirmed to see that he came from the proper Shevet. Each one was counted from 20 years old onward. Rashi tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the people because of his great love for them. When Israel went out of Egypt, he counted them. Kishunafle be'egel monon, when they fell at the golden calf, they were counted. Liyeda minyan anesorim, to know how many were lost and how many were left. Kishibola hashre shchinosai alehen monon. And now when he came to bring his shchina upon them, he counted them again. Be'echad b'nissan hukam ha'mishkan, and the first of Nisan, the Mishkan was put up, be'echad b'Iyar monam, and then the first of Iyar, they were counted. Rashi is explaining is that we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted Klal Yisrael three times in 1 year. They went out of Egypt on the 15th of Nisan. And there the Torah tells us that they were counted. On the 17th of Tammuz, which was just a few months later, after the giving of the Torah was given 50 days after the going out of Mitzrayim, the episode of the golden calf took place, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted the people a second time, because since so many were destroyed in the episode of the golden calf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to know again their number, so they were counted again. And now they were counted for a third time. And this is the Reish Chedesh of Iyar, the month after Nisan, 1 year later. So they were all counted within a period of just a little over a year. They were counted three times. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu count them now? Because now he came to build his Mishkan. As we learned before, the Mishkan was built during the first year, and it was assembled on Nisan, the second Nisan from going out of Egypt. And the Mishkan represented the Hashros Hashchina, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would dwell amongst the people. As it states, Osoli Migdosh Vishachanti Besechom, build for me a Migdosh, a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to bring his Shekhinah amongst the people, again he wanted to know how many people there were. So he counted them again. The Gurai asks that according to this, then they should have been counted immediately at the beginning of Nisan. Here we find they were counted 1 month later, 1 month after the assembling of the Mishkan. So that he answers, because it was not considered that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled amongst the people until 1 month. It's not considered that someone lives among someone else when it's less than 1 month. We find this in many Gemaras. For example, he quotes the Gemara Nedorim, that someone makes a vow that he will not have anything to do with any one of the people that live in this city, that dwell in this city. So the law is, and he makes a vow, and a person must keep a vow, it's a neder. So the law is, all of the people that live there for 30 days, he's not allowed, at least 30 days, he's not allowed to have anything to do with them. But someone who has not lived there for 30 days yet is not considered from the dwellers of the city. This is the Gemara he refers to. We find this shear, this length of 30 days regarding similar cases. For example, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra that speaks about the obligations of the people of the city towards various responsibilities, taxes and so forth of the city. So again we find that people that live there for 30 days are considered those who live, are the citizens of the city, the dwellers of the city. Less than 30 days, not like that. We find this also in regards to mezuzah, that if a person moves into a house, only after he's lived there for 30 days is there the obligation of mezuzah. But if it's less than 30 days, not all the time is there the obligation yet, because it's not considered a diras kfar as his permanent place. So the same thing, it was not considered that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was living amongst Klal Yisrael until he dwelled for 30 days amongst Yisrael. Therefore, after the first 30 days of the Mishkan, this was considered HaKadosh Baruch Hu's living there, living amongst the people, and therefore he counted them again. This that we find, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the people. The Torah tells us here three times in this period of just a little over a year. What does it mean? Why is the Almighty so interested in counting the people? Rashi brings him, Itechi Boson, because of his great love. In other places, Rashi brings, like a shepherd that constantly counts his sheep. He wants to make sure that not one is lost. And also Rashi quotes the Pasuk, Meitzi kechovim b'mispor, lechulam shema shikro. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we find, also counts the stars. He brings out the stars every evening. So he just doesn't bring the stars out. And when he created the stars, he didn't merely create them, but Meitzi kechovim b'mispor, he counted each star. Each one he gave a name to. This Pasuk Rashi brings in reference to the counting of Klal Yisrael. What does this denote? What does this designate? Counting of people, and especially when the Almighty counts the people of Israel, has two intentions in it. One, to place an emphasis on every individual. Not one individual should be lost. In other words, we're not dealing here just with a mass. We're not dealing here with a nation. But we are interested in every individual. And two is to know the sum total of the entire nation. This represents two dimensions which we always find in Klal Yisrael. One is the Bechinas HaYochid, the dimension of the individual, and secondly, the Bechinas HaTzibur, the dimension of the nation in general. These are two separate dimensions. One is not related to the other directly. Every Jew has his obligation, has his duty, has his place as an individual. He's a yochid, he's an individual. And his place is not someone else's place. And his obligation, his opportunity is not that of someone else. And at the same time, he's the part of a nation, the nation of Israel. And the nation has a dimension as an entity on its own. What the Torah, the Gemara, always refers to as the Tzibur, as the Eidor, the Tzibur. For example, quote some examples on this. In regards to the Chashivas HaYochid, in regards to the individual, many times we think that when we're speaking of the individual or we're speaking of the Tzibur, this can be all brought into one dimension. It's not true. It's two separate dimensions. In regards to the individual, we're familiar that the Chazal tell us, "Kol hamatzel nefesh achas miYisrael, ki ilu hitzel kol ha'elam kula." That if someone saves one individual from Israel, it's as if he has saved an entire world. Entire world. This is one individual. It's one Chazal. There's another Chazal that the Rambam brings in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Hamishi. When it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, that a Jew is obligated to give his life in certain particular situations. One of these situations is that if a Jew will be threatened that he must kill someone else, and if he will not kill someone else, then he himself will be killed. So here the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem applies. He's not allowed to take someone else's life to save his own. Gemara says, "My chos is the domach, sum kitfei." Who says your blood is redder than the other person's? Maybe his is. Therefore, he's not allowed to save his own life by taking someone else's. This is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. What would be in a case where Rambam brings in halacha hey, v'chein im omru lehem evdi kechovim, tenu lehem, tenu lonu echod mikem, v'nahargenu, v'mlav narei kulchem. If goyim come to a city and they say, "Give us one person and we will kill him, and if you will not give us this person, then we will kill the entire city." Yehorgu kulam. The halacha is that that one person is not allowed to be given over. Everyone has to be ready to give himself to death and not give this person over. They're not allowed to give even one life over, one soul over to the goyim. Not only you're not allowed to save your own life by taking someone else's life, but you're not allowed to save many lives of Israel by taking another individual life. V'im yachduhu lehem v'amru tunu lanu pleni onare ges kulchem. What happens if they identify one individual and they said, "This particular person, Reuven, we want Reuven. Give us Reuven, otherwise we will kill everyone." Im hayo mechuyev misa sheva ben bichri yitnu aysam lehem. If this individual happened to be guilty of the death penalty, he was guilty and he had death coming to him, then you're allowed to give that person over. But ein meirin lehem kein lechatchila. But the halacha is that Bezdin does not instruct the people as such. If they know the halacha, then they're allowed to give that individual over. If he was guilty and he had the death penalty coming to him. But if they don't know the halacha, Bezdin is not allowed to tell him. Because even in such a case, it is better not to give that person over. If he is not chayav misa, yehogu kulam. Al yimsalahem nefesh achas misa. They're not chayav misa. They're not obligated with the death penalty. Then you cannot give this individual over. But everyone has to be put to death. A similar case we find the Rambam brings. This is from the Gemara's the Rambam brings. Noshim shom lehem avdich achorim tenu lono achas mikem v'nitma iso. V'im lav nitma es kulchem. If goyim, for example, come upon a group of women, and they say, give us one woman, so we may violate her. And if not, then we will take everyone. Nit mes kulchem, val yimsalem nefesh achas misrael. The halacha is they're not allowed to give over any individual. It is better that they should let all of themselves be violated. They should not give over one soul. From here we see the bechina of the yochid. That one Jew in his own right takes a very great importance in Klal Yisrael. We have yet another example on this. The Rambam brings in Hilchis Ishus. Perek Tes Vov, Halacha Tes Zayin. Afal pi shekayim od mitzvos peir review. Harehu mitzuve midivrei seifrim shele yevatel milifreis v'rabeis. Even though a man has fulfilled the mitzvah of teru rebu, to be fruitful and multiply, the mitzvah is that he should father one son and one daughter, still he is obligated to be Isaac in teru rebu, he is obligated to have more children as long as he's capable of doing so. Midivrei seifrim. This is what the rabbis have commanded. Torah commanded that he should have one son and one daughter, minimum. The rabbis commanded that even though he has fulfilled that mitzvah, he should continue to have children, as long as he's capable of having children. So the Rambam says, why? Shekol ha-meisiv nefesh achas mi-Yisrael ki-ilu bono olam. Because anyone, every person who adds one nefesh, one life to Yisrael, is as if he has built an entire world. Therefore, the rabbis commanded that a person should never cease in having children. Shekol ha-meisiv nefesh achas bi-Yisrael kilu bono olam. That everyone who adds one life to Israel is as if he has built an entire world. This is what the Torah tells us. This was the din of the Chachamim. So we see one individual is considered an entire world. What?
There was a departure of values where in some cases not simple
value.
To rest with him.
Yeah.
Some
yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, here we're referring to Israel. I mean, the dinim are not the same, but there are cases that you are obligated to save a boy also. In the posuk, Meitzik Hechovim Bemispo Uchulim Shemesh Yikro, but Shmochu brings the stars out and he counts each one and he calls each one by a name. So the name, this that he calls each one by a name, this in particular refers to the dimension of the individual. Why? Because what divides one person from another? So the Gemara tells us, Hashem Meir Ala Etzem. The name designates the individuality of the person. The name designates the essence of the person. Because I'll tell us that just Just like two people, you'll never find two people that look exactly alike. No matter if you look at thousands of people. So you will never find two people that have exactly the same souls, the same neshamas. So this means that everyone's essence, we can have hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, but everyone's essence is different one from another. And the name, Hashem Meir Ala Etzem, the name identifies one from another. How do we know Reuben from Shimon? Because Reuben is Reuben and Shimon is Shimon. The name identifies one from the other. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings all of the stars out. You shouldn't think that all of the stars are the same. He gives each one a name, which means that each one is different from the other. Each one has an entirely different makeup. And so is it with Klal Yisrael. When we count the people, we want to know two things. First of all, we want to know the sum total. But secondly, each one is counted individually. And each one has a name. And this is the dimension of the individual. That one individual in Klal Yisrael, in certain instances, is as important as all of Israel, like from the cases that we've cited. This is the dimension of the Yochid, of the individual. What is the dimension of the Tzibur? Here we find another dimension. For example, the Rambam brings, this is from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam brings in Hilchis Tshuva. In Perek Beis Halacha Vov, Afal Pi Shehatshuva VaHatzoko.
Even though
it's for a person to do tshuva, to repent, and for a person to call out to Hashem, this is good all of the time, but on the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this has a particular significance. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen. All of the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might not listen to the person, to the individual. But in the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there Hashem will listen. When do we say this though? The Yochid, when it comes to the individual. Avol Tzibur. But when an Eidah, an entire congregation, is being mispalel, is doing repentance, is praying and crying to Hashem, because man she'asim tshuva v'tzeikin b'leiv sholem heinenim, then there's no difference between the rest of the year and the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Whenever the Tzibur, the entire community, or a entire community of Israel comes to be mispalo to Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers. Shne'emar Hashem Elokeinu b'chol koreinu elov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is our God whenever we call to Him. When an individual calls, it's not guaranteed he will be answered. 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he has a better chance. Because there, Dir Shasham B'Yimotso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to the people. But when we call to Hashem, a Tzibur calls, that's a different dimension. That's a dimension of a Tzibur, of the entity of Klal Yisrael as a whole. That the Rambam states, this is from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, where the Gemara says, Minayin l'gzadin shel Tzibur afal pisha nechtam nikra, that once a decree is made on the Tzibur, it can be still become broken. It can still be retracted. Shne'emar kashem alakeinu b'chol kareinu elov. Then the Gemara makes there the distinction between the individual and the Rabbim, and the many. Why is the Tzibur a different dimension altogether? We have a Mishnah in Masechta Ovis. Mishnah states, So Mishnah and Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. V'chol ha'eski men ha'tzibur, yu eski mimahem l'shem shemayim. Whoever does work for the tzibur, whoever helps the tzibur, he should work with them, he should associate with them, l'shem shemayim, only with intentions for the name of heaven, not for his own personal gratification, not for his own personal honor, not for his own personal gain, but only for the gain of the tzibur, of Klal Yisrael. Shizchus aveisa misayoson, then the merit of their fathers, of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, will help them. V'tzidkoson emedes lo'ad, the righteousness will stand by them forever. Atem male ani aleichem schar ki ilo asisem. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says that, and even though when you work with the tzibur, you will have great success if your intent is l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven. You will have great success because then you will have all of the iskus, all of the merit, and all of the help of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So it will not really be your act, but still, Kodesh Baruch Hu will consider as if you did it yourself, and he will reward you accordingly. This is what the Mishnah tells us. Now we find that when a person is Eisik im HaTzibur, if he comes to help the Tzibur, then there's the schus of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. This is what the Mishnah is telling us. If he comes to help another individual, it's not necessarily the schus of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Why is that? And this is a very interesting reason. Two reasons. Firstly, this that Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov are considered our fathers, this is not on an individual basis, because every individual has his own individual father. Every person has his own father, his own grandfather. So this that Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov are considered our fathers, this is not in the dimension of an individual. This is in the dimension of the Tzibur. They are the fathers of the Tzibur, the fathers of Klal Yisrael. Secondly, the Gemara tells us, Ein HaTzibur Meis. The Tzibur of Klal Yisrael cannot die. What does this mean? Even though we can find that the Tzibur that lived 250 years ago did die, and it's not the same Tzibur as it is now, it is the same Tzibur. When we judge an individual, so he lives a certain amount of years and then he dies. But when it comes to Klal Yisrael, Ein HaTzibur Meis. The congregation does not die. The nation does not die. From the dimension of a nation, from the dimension of a rabbim, of many, there is no end. There is constant continuity. This is Kativa Achas. Therefore, if a person operates at an individual level, he does not have the bond to the tzibur, he does not have the bond of that constant continuity of Klal Yisrael, he does not have the bond to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. If he operates at a level of the tzibur, of the nation, of the congregation, then he has the bond of constant continuity, of eternity, because Ein HaTzibur Meis, from the beginning of Klal Yisrael till time's end, there will be no hefsik, there will be no interruption. And then he has also the kesher, the bond with Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, because they are the fathers of the Tzibur, and our link to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov is through the Tzibur. This is why the Maral brings in his Pirush that we find when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu by the burning bush. This was the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe. So he came to Moshe and he said, Anochi Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. He said, I am the father, I am the God of your father. I am the God of your father. And then Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. When he told Moshe that I am the God of your father, and this is written in a singular form, Elokei Avicho, he didn't say that I am the God of Israel. He said, I am the God of your father. Moshe thought he meant that he was the God of Amram, because who was Moshe's father? Amram. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no, the God of Avraham, of Yitzchok and Yaakov. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking Moshe to go to Paray, L'tzorchei Tzibur, for the sake of the Tzibur, to save the nation, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would appear to him as the God of his father, that refers to Avraham, Yitzchok and Yaakov, because they are the Ovis of the Tzibur, they are the fathers of the Tzibur. Now this is what he explains. At first, when he said Elokei Avicho, so Moshe thought it was the God of Amram, but then he explained, "No, I am coming to you as the God of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov." No. But this is how he's learning pshat in it. I don't know if he has a right or not.
Sounded his voice like his
heart. This is why the Mishnah tells us that whoever works on behalf of the Tzibur, he must work l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven. Because if he's working for his own sake, if he's interested in his own gain, if he's interested in his own honor, so then that's not the tzibur, that's an individual basis already. So then he won't have the schus of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Right? But if he works for the tzibur, on their behalf of Klal Yisrael, then schus avesim v'sei osim, then the merit of the fathers of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov will stand behind them. Yitzikosan emeres la'ad, and the tzedek and the righteousness will stand by them forever. And then the success must be there. Because if you have the merit of Avraham, and you have the merit of Yitzchok, and the merit of Yaakov, so how can one fail? Atem male'ani aleichem socha ki la'asisem, and I will reward you as if you did it. The Maral writes, Im hoyu mevinim manige Yisrael hadvorim ha'ele b'chol keichem hoyu eski mimatzibu l'shem shemayim l'shem anosom. If all of the leaders of Israel, or all of those who are in position of leadership, they would understand this properly, then they would work with all of their strength for the sake of the Tzibur, because of the tremendous merit that the Tzibur has behind it. We find also, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama, that the Gemara says, Derech shehichsik b'irabim osa l'kalkalei. That if an individual has a certain road, a private road, and he gives it over, he lets the rabbim, he lets the tzibur use it, then the halach is, he's never allowed to retract it, he's never allowed to take it back from them. Derech shehichsik rabbim osa l'kalkala. No longer can you change it. Once he gives a road, or a thoroughfare, or something else, over to the rabbim, over to the community, then he's not allowed to retract it. He gives it to an individual, he can, but not to the community. So the Ravid in the Shita Mikubetzis explains, because he says, a community, Jewish community, a tzibur, that's something else. That already is not dealing on an individual basis, but that already has a higher element in it, where it's similar to Hegdish. Just like if you would give something to Hegdush, you would give something to the Beis Hamikdash, you couldn't retract it. That has a different kiddush in it, the Rabbi says. You're dealing with an individual, that's one halacha. You're dealing with a community, a Jewish community, this has a different kiddush in it. And he's referring to this principle. Because ein atzibur meis, when you're dealing with the tzibur, with the community, that's already the community of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And there is no hefsik, there's no interruption. This you cannot retract. And it's for this reason we find, and this the Maral brings in his Pirush, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, and Kuf Daf Kuf Nun. The Gemara says, Mefachin al Iske Tzibur b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're allowed, and Shabbos you're not allowed to talk business. We're all aware of. You're not allowed to take care of your business on Shabbos. So to have a discussion about your investments or other business endeavors, and certainly in shul, this you're not allowed to. But the Gemara says, "Mefachin al iske tzibur b'Shabbos." When it comes to communal problems, that you're allowed to discuss on Shabbos. And not only are you allowed to discuss that on Shabbos, but in shul you're allowed to. When it comes to communal problems, peskin stoka b'Shabbos, in shul, you can make an appeal for money, like we see many times on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that the shul needs money, an orphanage needs money, hospital needs money, yeshiva needs money. You're allowed to make an appeal, talk about it in public in Shabbos. But all right, that you might say, though, that's a mitzvah. But the Gemara says more than that. The Gemara doesn't only say stoker. The Gemara says mefachin al iskei tzibur b'Shabbos. If you want to talk about building a road for the community on Shabbos, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos in shul. Anything that's the need of the tzibur. This is what the Gemara says: Mefachin al iskei tzibur b'Shabbos. That if it's a communal responsibility, and the leaders of the community need the help of the people, so they want to bring it to their attention on Shabbos because that's when everyone is in shul. The tzibur needs there has to be a better wall built around the city, or there has to be roads or bridges or whatever it might be. That you're allowed to on Shabbos. Why is that? So the reason is because the Gemara learns from a posuk, chafotzecho, that your needs you're not allowed to take care of on Shabbos. A person is not allowed to look after his own personal business needs on Shabbos. But tzibur is considered chafzei shomayim. What the tzibur needs, that's considered the needs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not considered your personal needs. When you're dealing with the tzibur, you're dealing already with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. That's something else. And therefore, that's allowed to be discussed on Shabbos. So this is another, this is we see here this illustration of the Bechinas HaTzibur, of what the dimension is of the Tzibur. Actually, we have also, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Oves. That we can see here that both dimensions placed together in Masechta Oves. Perek Gimel Mishnah Vov states, Rabbi Chalafta ben Deiso Ish Kfar Hananya Omer, Asore Shi Yeshvin Ve'eskin B'Torah Shechina Shruy B'Nehem. If 10 are sitting and learning Torah, then Shechina Shruy B'Nehem. Kodesh Baruch Hu comes and dwells amongst them. As it states, Elokim Mitzov Badas Kel. And there Rashi brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with the Eidah, with the community. And Rashi brings Ve'en Eidah B'chus Me'asorah. A community is considered at least 10 people. And this we learn from the Meraglim. But then the Mishnah tells us, what happens if there are not 10 people learning? If there are less than 10 people? Let's say there are only 5, or let's say there are only 3, U'minayin afilo echod, or even 1, also HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes. As it states, "Bechol ha'mokom asher aski reshmi, ovei elecha v'rachticha," that in every place that I will come, that my name will be mentioned, then I will come to bless you. So we see both factors here. When there are 10 people learning, then there's a great element of Shechina. Kodesh Baruch Hu dwells with the Tzibur. But this does not preclude the individual. Even one person alone also can evoke Shechina. But naturally it is not the power of Shechina that you find by 10 people. One individual also can. But it's not 10. These are the two very important factors. There's the factor of the individual and the factor of the rabbim of the tzibur. And both of these are included when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted the people. He wanted to make sure that not one was lost. Every individual was there. That is the yochid, the nefesh achas. One person is equal to Kol Yisrael. And at the same time, he wanted to know what the total tzibur was. And he found that each counting, they always numbered in the area of 600,000. All of these countings. Another point that we see here, that it states, "Miben esrim shana v'mala kol yetzei tzova b'Yisrael." From 20 years old upward, all of those that go into the army. Rashi brings, "Kol yetzei tzova magid shein yetzei b'tzova pochus miben esrim." We see from here that no one can go into the army unless he's 20. And only those who could be drafted into the army were counted. The question is asked, why do we find this degree of 20 years old? This is something we really do not have, l'havdil, in civil law. We have the age of 18, we have the age of 21. But here we find, when it came to the army of Klal Yisrael, it was 20. What is the significance of that? In the Mishnah Ovis, in Perek Hei, Mishnah Chof Aleph, the Mishnah tells us, Shmuel HaKot Neimer, Ben Chomei Shonim LeMikro, when a person is 5 years old, then he should learn Mikro Chumash. Ben Eser LeMishnah, when he's 10, he should learn the Mishnah. Ben Shleish Esrei LeMitzvahs, when he's 13, then he's Bar Mitzvah, then he has to accept upon himself all of the mitzvahs. Ben Chamish Esrei LeTalmud, when he's 15, he should learn the Talmud, the Gemara. Ben Shmein Esrei LeChupa, when he's 18, then he's ready for marriage. Ben Esrim LeYodev, when he's 20, then he has in him the power LeYodev to pursue. So the Maral explains here, Ben Esrim LeYodev, that he has the power to pursue for the army. A person must have the power to pursue. Like many times in the Torah we find that you will chase many, or many will chase you. This is war. And the power of ambition, the power of aggressiveness, this develops in a person when he's 20 years old. And this comes after he has reached a completion of his maturity. You find physically a person matures until he's 18. And that's why it says, Ben Shmein Esrei LeChupa. Physical growth, physical maturity, he's still 18. When he's 18, then he's ready for marriage. Once he has reached a physical maturity, now he wants to go conquer. And this is the beginning. Actually, this is also a degree of marriage. Because when the person goes and he takes a wife, this is also a manifestation of his power to rule, to conquer. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, go and rule the world. He told the first man. And then after he takes a while, this completion then he wants to conquer. So therefore the Mishnah tells us Ben Esrim Lirdeif, at the age of 20, he has the great ambition to go and conquer. And therefore we find that the at 20 years old was the time when he would qualify for the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One final point. In the psukim that we read, we see that Klal Yisrael had to be counted. But it's mentioned here several times that they should be counted in accordance to the families. Rashi tells us, L'mishpachaisom, da minyan kol shevet v'shevet. You should know the number of every tribe. L'veis aveisom, misha oviv mishevet echod, v'ima mishevet ache, yokum al shevet oviv. What does it mean in accordance to the house of their fathers? This means that when it came to count a certain person who was married to a certain woman, and he was from one tribe and she was from another tribe. So here we were instructed actually in two countings, to count the nation as a whole and to count each tribe individually. So if he is from one tribe and she is from another tribe, so in which tribe should we include them? So Levesa Vosam, that you should go after the father's tribe. You go after a person's father. Or if they were counting the men. So if a person's father is from one tribe and his mother is from another tribe, so in accordance to what tribe should he be included? Levesa Vosam, in accordance to the father. Then Rashi brings that when you count them, so the leader of each tribe should be present. Then he says, "Vishaldu al mishpachesam." What does it mean that each one established their family? "Aviu sifre yichusehem ve'edi cheskes leidosam." Each one brought documents. When it came to counting all of the people, each one had a document, in either a document or witnesses to testify on his behalf, which tribe was he from? So each one should be known for sure which tribe he comes from. And then we see when the people were counted, so each tribe was counted individually. First Reuben was counted, Shimon, Yehud, and so forth. Then there was the sum total of Kol Yisrael. So we see that there were actually two countings. There was a counting of Kol Yisrael, and there was a counting of each tribe. Now, this is something that we are not accustomed to, this type of thinking. When we refer to Klal Yisrael, to Israel, we refer to all of Israel as one group. If we do divide them, so we divide Shevet Levi from the rest of Israel. The Kahanim were part of Shevet Levi. So we're not used to thinking of Israel being subdivided into groups. Israel was all of one nation. Levi perhaps was separate, not the rest. The reason why we're not accustomed to thinking this way is because it's been many, many years already that all of the tribes have become completely lost, one in another. Some have been lost, perhaps great majorities of the tribes have been even lost from us. The rest have been mixed up. So we don't know who's from which tribe. But that's because of the Golus. It's because of the exile. But according to the way things should be, according to the Das HaTorah, Klal Yisrael was one nation, but it was made up of 12 parts. And just as we mentioned, there was the dimension of the individual and the dimension of the nation in its entirety, there's a third dimension also. There was the dimension of the individual, the dimension of the shevet, of the tribe, and the dimension of the nation in its entirety. And when the nation was to be counted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very particular, very adamant, that it should be counted in accordance to the Shvatim. Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Levi, Yisachar, Zvulun. And later on in the Sedvu we find that each tribe camped separately.
every shaver had their place where they would camp around the Mishkan. The Mishkan was in the center, and immediately around the Mishkan it was Moshe and Shevet Levi, the Kahanim. And then there were four major camps with the Golim that were around the entire Mishkan, and three Shvatim in each camp. And this is how they camped, and this is how they marched. And there were not supposed to be any irvuv, any mixture of one shevet with another. Each one camped in accordance, in accordance le'eses, to the signs that were given to them by their fathers. So this is another concept into what Klal Yisrael is. Klal Yisrael is not just a mass of a people, but they were built on 12 tribes. And the Chazal tell us that what does it mean that each one took the campsite in accordance to the signs that were given to them by their fathers? This goes back to Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov died in Egypt, he commanded his sons that they should bury him in Eretz Yisrael. Should take him out of Egypt and be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And he commanded that his orin, his casket, should be carried. Should be carried from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael. And it should be carried only by his 12 sons. And he commanded that no Egyptian should touch his casket. Only his sons. And he said that Aaron should not carry the casket. Excuse me, not Aaron. Levi should not carry the casket. Because Levi was destined to carry the Oren HaKodesh. And Yosef should not carry the casket. Because Yosef hu Melech. Yosef was the king. And this is the Medrash Tanhuma. And in their place should be Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Yosef. And he gave them each a position where they should carry. Who should be in the front, who should be in the back. Who should be at the west, who should be at the east. And it was in accordance to these signs that each one knew where to camp around the Aron HaKodesh. He had known each shevet came from one of the sons of Yaakov. So they knew from their grandfather, great-grandfather, where their position was. And Medrash tells us that each one had a flag. The Torah tells us each one had a flag that was a certain color. But the Medrash tells us, where did that color come from? That color corresponded to the color of each tribe, which was on the Choshen Mishpat, on the breastplate of the Kohen Godel. Kohen Godel, we learned in Parsha Tzaveh, that the Kohen Godel had eight beautiful garments. And one of these was a breastplate. The breastplate was a magnificent garment made of all types of gold and jewelry and so forth. And it had 12 precious stones in it. And on each stone was a different type of stone, a different color. And on each stone was engraved the names of one of the 12 sons of Yaakov. The color of that stone was the same color of the flag which each tribe had. And that's how one would recognize his flag, because he knew what the color of his stone was. And the Medrash tells us that the greatest beauty of Klal Yisrael was when they camped in the desert, and they marched in the desert. They had 600,000 males. There were millions of people, because there were 600,000 males between the ages of 20 and 60. Which means that there were another 600,000 females. That's over a million right there. Then there were all of those over 60. And there were all the children. And they had many, many children. Because in Egypt, they had multiplied with such a tremendous strength, and with such a tremendous fruitfulness, that the Medrash tells us that many times they had 6 at a time, or 12 at a time. So there were literally millions of people. And they all camped in accordance to the Shvatim. And they were counted in accordance to the Shvut. Now why is this? Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu also interested? Because the makeup of Klal Yisrael, just as we find that there's a dimension of an individual and a dimension of a tzibur, there's also the dimension of the 12 sons of Yaakov. The foundation and the pillars of Israel were the 12 sons of Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu and his 12 sons. Each son gave forth a particular power, a particular koach, a particular nature into Klal Yisrael. And this had to remain in its individual form. Together, they created the Tzibur of Israel. Individually, each one gave forth something that the other did not. And this we find that when Yaakov blessed them, it says, Ish ki b'yachosei beirach osam. Each one he gave a different bracha to. This one he gave the bracha of the lion to, and the other one he gave the bracha of the bracha of the deer to, and so forth. And each one he blessed in accordance to the particular power and nature of that individual. Ish ki b'yachosei beirach osam. And the Chazal tell us that all of these sons are actually written in the Echot of the Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is what Yaakov said when he was blessing his sons. And when Yaakov said Echot, Kodesh Baruch Hu is one, and the Echot, there is a total of 13, the numerical value. The Aleph is 1, the Ches is 8, and the Dalet is 4. And this refers to the 13 sons. Why do we say 13? They're actually 12. Because Yosef was counted as 2. When Yaakov came down to Egypt, and he saw Yosef after so many years, and Yosef gave birth to 2 sons in Egypt, so he said, your 2 sons will be my 2 sons. Here, Reuven and Shimon, duly. They will be just like Reuven and Shimon. Just like Reuven and Shimon are for my sons and they are the Shvatim, so your 2 sons, you will not be 1 son, you will be 2. Ephraim and Manasseh. And this we find. When it came to the Degolim, when it came to the marching, there were 2 camps. Yosef had 2 camps, not 1. Ephraim had 1 and Manasseh had 1. Yosef was split into 2. When it came to the Chalukas Oretz, the division of the land, of Eretz Yisrael, where there was divided Alpi Ashvotim in accordance to the tribes, again, Yosef had 2. It was given to Ephraim and Manasseh. So there were a total of 13. And this is the Aleph and the Ches and the Dalet of the Echot. The Aleph refers to the singular Shevet. The singular Shevet that was separated, that was Levi. Levi was moved them. Levi was separated to serve Hashem. From Levi came the Levim and the Kahanim. Ches, the 8, that refers to the 8 sons that came from Rachel and Leah. Besides Levi, there were 8 sons that came from Rachel and Leah. And the Dalet, this refers to the 4 sons that came from the Shvachis, from the midwives, from the maidservants of Rachel and Leah. But what do we see from here? We see that the Echod, Hashem Echod, the Klal Yisrael, represents the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that oneness, again, was made up with the dimensions of the various Shvatim. In other words, this is an integral part of Klal Yisrael. This is something that we don't have much of a concept in today, as mentioned, because it is all confused and mixed up. But according to the way things are supposed to be, when they were counted, each one came to prove what Shevet he was from. He had to prove what Shevet he was from, and before he would be allowed to camp with that Shevet and to be counted amongst that tribe. And Klal Yisrael were counted together in accordance to the tribe. So we see that in the counting there were actually three dimensions: the dimension of the individual, of the Shvotim, and of the Tzibur. This is the counting of the Klal Yisrael, and in preparation that they were given the various formations for their travels in the Midbar.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.